Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus walked into a bar and he said, "I'll just have a glass of water." Ha ha, right. Changed water into wine today. I want to start with talking about wine. Wine is a great gift of God, and that's not just me saying that. It's the Bible saying that. The Bible says wine is a great gift, and I just want to give you what I'm talking about. For one, in the Old Testament, wine is often a sign of God's blessing. Like when things are going really well, then there's wine. Paul, for another, in the New Testament, he tells Timothy that Timothy should drink a little wine for the sake of his stomach, which is kind of interesting. Proverbs chapter 31 says that wine is really good when you're in bitter distress. And I'll read you the verse after that. It says, "Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more." It's Proverbs 31. Isaiah says that, you might remember, he talks about this big feast on the mountain that God is going to make, and he says there will be well-aged wine there. And in Genesis, Melchizedek, the great priest Melchizedek, when he comes out to bless Abram, brings bread and wine. So wine is a good gift all through the Bible. So bring out the wine, right? Gladden your hearts, as the Bible says, when it talks about wine. But of course, the Bible also says, be careful, as we all know. All good things in moderation, they say, right? Because any good gift that God gives us, sadly, the sad reality is we are prone to abuse it. So he gives us good wine, but what do with it? Well, we abuse it and we often drink too much of it. And that's why the Bible also has to give us all these warnings, which you know about drunkenness. Yes, wine is good, but too much wine is not good. So enjoy it, but enjoy it moderately, right? Okay, I tell you all this just so we're all clear. We're all on the same page about what the Bible says, right? Wine is good, just don't drink too much of it. But now we come to this curious case of the wedding in Cana. Now, of course, there was wine at the wedding, as we would expect. Most of our weddings, maybe they don't all have wine, but they all have alcohol, or not all, but most of them have alcohol in some kind. So there's wine at this wedding, and that's good. Fine time to enjoy wine. But after a long while at this wedding reception, these gluttons had drank up every last bit of the wine. There wasn't a drop of wine left. I mean, this is kind of crazy, right? Because they probably brought a lot of wine to the wedding. And the steward, the master of the feast, he makes it very clear that a number of them, in his own words, have drunk freely. So, reading between the lines, putting it in your own words, they're drunk. They've drank too much wine. And a number of the guests at the wedding are drunk. A bunch of sinners, right? These people are sinners abusing God's good gift. They drank too much of this good gift of wine. So what does Jesus do? Surely, Jesus comes out and lectures them all, doesn't he? Doesn't he come out and give them a nice long lecture on the virtue of temperance and moderation, right? Surely, Jesus comes out and yells at them to repent. Repent of their gluttony and sober up. For the kingdom of heaven is near, like a good John the Baptist, right? Surely Jesus wouldn't allow one more drop of wine to be served to these ungrateful, sinful people, right? But no, that's not what Jesus did. You heard the story. It's not what he did at all. Jesus, in a surprising twist, gave them approximately 150 more gallons of wine. So if you don't know how to quite picture that, because we picture wine in bottles, right? If you do a little math, that's about 750 bottles of wine that Jesus made for them. So in another wild twist, this isn't just some cheap off-the-shelf wine either. It happens to be some of the finest wine these folks have ever tasted in their lives. Except many of them won't even notice that, because they've already had so much wine, it doesn't matter anyway. So now, you tell me, where is the sense in this? I mean, where is the sense in this miracle? Jesus should have come out yelled at him, and sent him home empty-handed to sober up, right? But he doesn't. Instead, for these overindulgers, he does his first miracle and shows them his glory to a bunch of people who probably barely even noticed. But from all of this, we're told the disciples believed in him, and we get to understand better that what the grace of God really is. See, we know they didn't deserve any more wine. A sensible person would have said, no more wine? Well, so what? They've already had plenty. No big deal. But not Jesus. Jesus gives them more anyway, and that is his glory. It's what we call grace. Grace is giving extraordinary gifts to people who don't deserve them at all. That's what grace is. Grace is giving miraculous wine to people who didn't deserve any more wine. And that's what Jesus does. It's what he continues to do for you and me all the time. He gives us gifts even though we don't deserve them at all, even knowing full well that we're going to abuse them. And that's when you start to see how great God's love is and how glorious his grace is. It's just unbelievable. Think about how we abuse God's gifts, because we do this with all kinds of his gifts. He gives us time and we abuse it, don't we? I mean, we waste his time. We squander our days away thinking there's always going to be more time left. He gives us nature, the trees, the animals, the beauty, the resources, and what do? We abuse it. We destroy it. He gives us marriage and sex and children, and what do we give him? Divorce, perversion, and abortion. He gives us food and shelter. We take it for granted, and we complain that we wish we had a nicer house and better food to eat. And just when you think that God would come out and he'd say to us, enough with you ungrateful sinners, I'm not going to put up with you anymore. Instead, then God comes out and gives us the greatest gift the world has ever seen, his own son. And even God's own son was abused by us. He was rejected, he was persecuted, he was put on trial, he was punished, he was crucified. And yet all of this too was for God's glory. Because by dying on the cross and rising from the dead, God could continue to give us Jesus over and over and over again. That's his grace. The only way God saves us is simply by grace, by giving us things we don't deserve. So one place God does this is in the Lord's Supper. He gives more and more and more wine, more and more and more grace. You think about the Lord's Supper, just like them at the wedding, not appreciating God's gifts. We don't always appreciate the Lord's Supper. I mean, there's many Sundays that we may very well come in and say, oh, we got communion, service is going to be longer, right? We've all thought that. Or there's many times that we've gone up to take the Lord's Supper and we haven't even thought at all about what God is giving us here. Or maybe many times we've taken communion and on the way back to our pew, we're having sinful thoughts about someone. I mean, we abuse that gift of the Lord's Supper all the time. But God never says, enough with you sinners. I'm not going to give it to you. No more wine for you guys. He never says it. No, God is a God of grace. The wine never runs out. He makes sure of it. He always has more and more grace. And he wants us to receive the Lord's Supper as often as we can and to thank him for being so good to sinners such as us. God is good, and we can trust that. And a little side note to this gospel reading, you see that his mom, Jesus' mom Mary, seems to understand this. And when the wine runs out at the wedding, you know, she doesn't know what Jesus is going to do about it, but she just trusts. She knows God is good, and she just says to Jesus, they have no more wine. She doesn't know what he's going to do, but he even says to her, what does this have to do with me? But she knows. She knows he'll take care of it. God is so good to us. We can ask for more and more and more and more for whatever it is we need, and we know God's going to hear our prayer. I mean, if you're anything like me, you probably have often prayed and felt like you really shouldn't be asking for this because you really don't deserve it at all. You know, maybe you're asking for something and you're thinking in your mind, how can I ask for this? He gives it to me and I waste it all the time. Or, you know, we often just, he gives us stuff and we're not even thankful for it. We just take it for granted. Well, God knows all of that, okay? Jesus knew they had abused the wine at the wedding, but it didn't stop him from giving more. And it's the same way with us. God knows we'll abuse his gifts, but he still wants to give them to us. So, yeah, of course we don't deserve them, but we're going to keep asking for them. And that's what Mary shows us. She just shows us to trust God, to trust Jesus, to tell him what we need and trust he'll take care of it. And then you see her faith, because then she says, just do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. Those are words of faith. Just trust him. Okay? Jesus tells us, believe in him. He tells us, keep my word. He tells us, love God, love our neighbor. He tells us, receive the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me, he said. He tells us to turn to him in every trouble. And we do, because that's faith. That's what faith does. When the wine runs out, we turn to him. And we say, there's no more wine. And we know he's going to take care of it. Okay? We know he'll keep the wine flowing. So finally then, just to recap, this is Jesus' first miracle. He shows his glory, and what is that glory? That he gives grace to sinners. That when we run out of wine, he is always there to give more. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.